This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Something to see.
Got him lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm trucking down a one-way street.
You better move fast.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome into the Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and 5-9 of the Fan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with Matt Rocchio. Today, I believe John Hadley is coming in. Never can tell. It is game day for your Slew Billikens, so you will not be hearing from Bob Ramsey. Of course, if you were listening earlier to the Midday Grind, you did hear Bob Ramsey giving the preview for tonight's game. Thanks to our friends over at Royal Banks who do a great job for us. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome both on the phone line and the text line. Rock is in charge of monitoring that for us. I want to get into this to start out the day. I know today is Hall of Fame Day. We got our big news, Mariano Rivera, of course, and Edgar Martinez. A lot of fun stuff there. We'll get to that later. I want to start out with Drew Lock, though. Drew Lock is absolutely crushing the Senior Bowl right now. And just explain a few things to you guys to start out. The Senior Bowl is less about what happens on the field. First of all, it's got nothing to do with what happens on game day. Don't even worry about it. Don't turn on the Senior Bowl itself. No one cares. There are no scouts left. They all fly out the day before. And they're not watching on TV. They don't want to see tape of the actual Senior Bowl. They've seen Drew Lock, I think, started 45 games as a quarterback for the Missouri Tigers. They do not need to see him playing with guys that he's practiced with for 5 minutes and had thrown three total passes to. Not interested in that. They have a total of, what he started? He started 26 plus, yeah, so 50 games that he played in, because he played in every game. Now, he didn't start that many. He started halfway through his freshman year. So I think he started 45, played in 50. All right, they've seen Drew Lock complete 56.9% of his passes. If you throw out his first year, that is substantially better. He only completed 49% of his passes on 263 attempts his first year. That is unfair to throw a guy into that situation. This past year, it was almost 62.9. They saw a total of 99 touchdowns and 39 interceptions, 2.5 to 1 or so. That'll work. And his yards per attempt, which is my favorite stat for quarterbacks. If you just give me one stat, it's that 8.0. If you get over 7, you're in pretty good shape. 8 is great. He had a season in 2017 where he was 9.5. All right? He has been spectacularly good on the field. Now, I don't need to sit here and talk to you about stats. I'm throwing them out there for you just to know. He, even without a great record, Missouri won 8 games his senior year, 7 games his junior year. Missouri didn't win a ton of games, didn't make bowl games. The 2 games for that, 2015 won 5 games, 2016 won 4 games. Forget that. He offensively, they had it and he did well. And he set the all time single season record, 44 touchdowns. He's been spectacular. What is setting him apart? I say all that to line that up and tell you good that he met the threshold. Now throw all that out. That doesn't matter. Here's what the Senior Bowl is about. He's showing up in front of a microphone, and he's the most likable guy in the room. That plays. When you show up and you start telling stories to the media, and you start talking about how John Gruden, if you guys remember, John Gruden used to run the, Fired Football Coaches of America, where Blaine Gabbert did that, and Cam Newton, all the quarterbacks over the years, top 2 or 3 quarterbacks every year did that. And instead, of course, John Gruden, now head coach for the Oakland Raiders, the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, he is walking in, and he says, mid-conversation, he interrupts Drew. They're just shooting the breeze. Hey, Locke, let's talk about that interception against Alabama. That sucked. And Drew stands up there, and he's telling everybody about it. And he's doing a John Gruden impression. That's fine. He's not great at impressions, but who cares? And he's being charismatic. If Drew Locke would have come out early, I can tell you now, after seeing the growth, that's not a first-round pick. If he came out last year, even after throwing 44 touchdowns, that Drew Lock hadn't come out of his shell yet. Today, this personality is going to make him a first-round pick. And the reason is because I think head coaches, along with general managers, are catching up with the owners who for a long time have been saying, go get me a quarterback with a personality because that's how we sell tickets. He's got to have an arm. And absolutely, he's got to be a pretty good athlete. And absolutely, we need to win some games. I need a personality. It's really hard to sell a stick in the mud, and we need that. And so, Drew Lock, towards the end of last
really
year.
It really sucks to be a scout nowadays.
It does.
Towards the end of last year. But his hand size, his ball placement, and the ball speed's really bad and below average. Is he likable? It's not going to matter when he's not on the team in a year and a half, dude. Infuriating. Luckily, Locke has all those things.
That's exactly it. I'm sending you something right now, Rock. I want you to play. And that is, you brought up the hand size thing. That's been the big knock on any quarterback. But if there's one thing that's come out that Drew Locke has not had at this Senior Bowl is he had 9-inch hands. So I'm going to try to explain to you guys. This would be great if this was a TV show right now, but it's not. So I'm going to try to explain to you guys how this works. You lay your hand down flat. So they set a ruler. And for guys like Alden Smith, they set down a yardstick. And you put your hand down flat. And from the end of your pinky to the end of your thumb, you try to make a straight line. All right? And that is how they do it. Now, the drawback to this method here is that people with terrible hand flexibility obviously can't make a straight line. I was not good at anything, but I was fairly flexible. I had almost 10-inch hands for that reason. Now, that's exactly the length of my hand. But the issue is, I don't know if this is true for Drew or not, there were guys that had terrible hand flexibility, could never flatten their hand, so couldn't get all the length out. Perhaps they had 10.5-inch hands, and they came out at 9 1/8 because they couldn't lay it flat. And that is actually an issue because they look at the chart. They don't actually see your hand. You may have gigantic mitts, but you don't have flexibility in your hands, and so it looks like you got 9 1/8. That doesn't work.
You know what I want to see? I want to see right now. Somebody find me tape of the last time Drew Lock was playing basketball. I'll figure out if this is an issue or not really quickly.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a big article about this.
When he palms a basketball, how strong is his hold on it? Let's break this down cross sports. We can figure this out.
That is interesting, and that's a good way to do it. Like I told you, I can palm a basketball, but if you're like, you ever seen Michael Jordan do his pump fake where he throws it? There is no, okay. Unless you have 6'6" type hands, you're not doing that. I can't do that. I can dunk a basketball. I can hold a basketball and move it around.
Here's the thing,
but
though,
you can smack it out of my hand.
Here's the thing though. Guys like Russell Wilson who measured it like with like 10.5-inch hands.
Yep.
I wonder how strong his like ability to palm a basketball thing is.
It'd be great.
I wonder like
so people don't understand.
Rock. It's a big inch and a half.
Okay, and that's well said. I want you to clip that off and play that forever.
that's a substantial
difference. I told you. I think the third or fourth shortest receiver at the combine, and I had the fourth biggest hands. And there is a substantial difference between, because there were guys there who had 10.5-inch hands, and you hold it up just to kind of see. There is a substantial difference between I had 9 7/8 and 10.5. I mean, a massive difference when you're trying to hold a football. But I tell you this, and this is, I want you to, you got it pulled up here. This is John Gruden, who was being interviewed at the combine. This is specifically talking about Kyler Murray, but he ended up getting into why some of the old standards don't matter like they used to.
I used to think that a lot until I saw Drew Brees twice a year in Tampa. And then I met Russell Wilson coming out of NC State. And now I'm watching this kid Murray at Oklahoma, and I am putting away all the prototypes that I once had. You know, I used to have a prototype for hand size, you know, height, arm length, all that stuff. We're looking for guys that can play and do a lot of different things, and they come in all shapes and sizes nowadays.
That's exactly right. That should be your big takeaway. The game has moved. All right, the game used to be, this is exactly how it looks. We're all going to play the West Coast offense. You're going to line up. If you're not between 6'3" and 6'5", and you're not 230 to 240 pounds, probably not going to work. You don't fit the prototype. By the way, this is why Blaine Gabbert, even though he struggled with his touch passes a little bit, was the number one rated pro-style quarterback in America. He was 6'5", 235 pounds. He was built and he could throw it through the wall next to you. That's prototype. But it doesn't always work. As we've seen, his career hasn't gone exactly the way we'd hoped. There's a million reasons for that. I'm a Blaine Gabbert fan. He's a spectacular quarterback throwing to me. But there are it's not just height and weight.
No, see, and that's why I actually had an issue with his statement there, because I think he's correct in that things like height and weight have been phased out. But I think we've seen proven things like arm length, especially when we're talking about defensive players and hand size with receivers and quarterbacks. Those are measurements that, when you break it down, there's clear delineations, and people who succeed below certain markers are outliers.
There's a quarterback playing for the Super Bowl this weekend that has 9-inch hands.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. There's one at 5'11" that has 10.5-inch hands. What he's saying is before we said you can't do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm saying, yes, you can, and we've seen it. And in Drew Locke's case, has there ever been ball security issues that you can recall?
Nope.
And he's played in some weather, right? He's played in some rain. He's played in. It's not been crazy.
Was a little busted.
But he's played in some South Carolina game.
Did he lose the ball at all?
Freaking hurricane. Well, he threw a bad interception, but that wasn't a ball security issue. That was a decision making issue. So, yes, does it help to have big hands? Sure. Does it help to have Aldon Smith arms if you're playing defensive end? Absolutely. But I'm telling you this, if you pass over Aaron Donald because his arms aren't long enough, you're an idiot. And that's what we're seeing. Aaron Donald's about 6'1", is where he's topping out. And he's the best defensive player since Lawrence Taylor.
His arms weren't short, though.
In comparison to a guy that's 6'6", though.
Yes, but the thing, though, it's all relative.
It's not, though, because my arms were 30 inches, like 30 and an eighth, and that was short, even though I'm only 6 foot tall.
What I'm saying, though, is that if a guy is 6'1", and has the arm length of a guy who's 6'3", then the fact that he's 6'1", doesn't matter.
That's not true. Especially at quarterback, that's not true, because they want you to be able to see over the line, and they want you to be able to go up for jump balls and things like that.
And yeah, but
those are mutually exclusive things. One does not compensate for the
other.
Yeah,
we're talking about different positions, too.
That's true, but I'm saying if you have super long arms at defensive end, you're still not standing very tall, right?
Yeah, but people being worried about that with Donald was ridiculous because they completely ignored how leverage works.
Right, exactly.
And the fact that him being, but again, and I think
you and Gruden are agreeing on that.
And that's what I'm saying is there's certain combinations that we don't think of as being traditionally perfect for the sport of football because you're not the biggest and the heaviest and the fastest, but they still work because, again, some of these things just come down to how the physics of the natural, how the physics of the sport work. That's why long arms. That's why it makes a guy like Aldon Smith so much better, the fact that he has an extra 4 inches on his reach than what his height lists him as, because it allows him to extend his arms and things like that.
I'm not telling you those shouldn't be noted and they can't be beneficial. I'm telling you to say they don't meet our standard, take them off the draft board.
No,
is crazier today than it's ever been, specifically because of the rule changes.
And I think we've gotten better too, because I think you also, I don't think you should treat something like length, I don't think you should treat something like length the same as we now treat the 40-yard dash, where people have finally accepted the 40-yard dash is essentially, is not a good barometer in almost any way, shape, or form, unless we're talking about gunners. And while arm length, while I agree, doesn't need to be the only thing you talk about, I think has more legitimacy in talking about prospects than just a 40-yard dash does.
Yeah, and in a short clip, it's hard to... What I would gather that Gruden's talking about here is we used to have standards. We no longer have standards. We go and we take away the whole thing. Wes Welker, guys, was 5'9", 185 pounds, and he probably won't be a Hall of Famer, but he should be. He's a guy that had 100 catches like 5 straight years, right? Came off an ACL. After he tore his ACL the next year, I think he ended up finishing number one in receiving yards in the entire league. And he didn't do it for an extended period of time, and he never had crazy, you know, yards per catch and all that. He's 5'9", 185 pounds, had one scholarship coming out, and mostly to play running back. I think Texas Tech wanted him to play running back. And then he turned into the favorite receiver of the greatest quarterback of all time and had 100 catches every year, right? He is a guy that broke that mold. Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, certainly. Drew Brees, the all-time leading passer, is barely 6 feet tall, and I bet he's standing on his tiptoes. And he's thrown for nearly 75,000 yards in the NFL. He has broken that mold. Aaron Donald is, like I told you, he's 6'1", 280 pounds when he's coming out. Now, I think he's probably a little bit heavier than that now. 6'1", 280. I'm telling you, in college, they look at that and they're like, I don't know if that's going to work. At Missouri, they would say you're maybe a little bit light.
Doesn't matter if you can't get your hands on him.
That's exactly it, right? He broke the mold of what everybody used to have to look like Warren Sapp. If you didn't look like Warren Sapp and you're playing defensive tackle, That is an issue.
Or if you were 280 and playing defensive tackle, you better have long arms because you're playing in a 3-4.
Warren Sapp was 300 pounds, right? Now, he's only 6'2". You'd like him to be 6'3".
He was more like 290 when he was coming out of Miami.
Maybe so. Bottom line is you needed to have a fatter look to you, right? You needed to be a guy that could plug the holes. Well, Aaron Donald does everything. So we've had guys over the years. Remember Brandon Jacobs?
Yeah.
Running back?
Dude was freaking huge.
He was 6'4", mm-hmm. and he played running back. And we were like, oh, I guess that'll work. We always thought it was supposed to be short guys.
Well,
like,
yeah, Steven
6'4", great.
Yeah, Steven Jackson was 6'3", and people were like, that might be a little bit too big.
Yeah, it's like Derrick Henry today. We're like, man, he's big, but nobody's saying you can't.
Let's give just a little bit of credit. John Randall was doing it. Did it a decade before Aaron Donald at 6'1", 290.
Not to this level, but
when you talk about the era he was playing in, when every lineman was 325 pounds and people were trying to run the ball 30 times a game, Julius Randle was playing defensive tackle at 290 pounds and was doing work.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's the thing, though, is that for a while now, every time we talked about an aberration like Julius Randle who was able to do it under 300 pounds, it was, well, that he was able to do that and he's an aberration. There's no way this guy can do it. And I think now we've come more to the middle where it's like, yeah, it might be a little bit different. He's going to have to do it in a less traditional way, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a less useful way.
I want to bring it back to Drew Lock here. I just sent you something else, if you could pull that up. I was telling you guys about this earlier. This is Drew Lock talking about with John Gruden. They were at breakfast. And he has crushed the interviews. This is him just standing in front of the podium talking to the media. But remember, the media largely shapes the narrative of what's going on. I'm not telling you they're making decisions in war rooms. I'm just telling you, by the end, yes, media are tipped off. Oftentimes, they have sources inside the war rooms and all that. But the media largely shapes the narrative of what's happening. And when you win over the media, that is a really good thing for you. So, Rock, if you've got that queued up, this is Drew Lock at the Senior Bowl, and he's talking about his meeting with John Gruden.
At breakfast, and he's like, hey, we'll just sit down in a second. I was like, oh. I was like, awesome, here we go. And we got to talking, and he's awesome. I loved every second of spending time with him. And, you know, kind of mid-conversation, he goes, hey, Locke, let's talk about that pick you threw at Alabama. And I was like, it's like, what were you doing there? Because it was an ugly play. From film, it looked horrible. And I went through and explained everything to him. He's like, that makes a little more sense. And then he went into another play that we ran quite a bit at Mizzou. We called it Ernie. He called it something else and went into how we read it and how he reads it. It's again just another example of why I should have stayed that last year. I would have came in there and just had my eyes like this talking to him. I would have had no idea what he was talking about. I would have been really overwhelmed. And, you know, now I was sitting there talking to John Gruden, and I was sitting there kind of like this. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Shoot your shot at me. I'm ready.
Shoot your shot. I'm ready. That's the attitude that allows you. Remember, guys, we've been saying now for a year, it's a video up on my YouTube right now. You can go watch it. Put in TJ Mo 28. A year ago, I said, Drew Lock might be the number one overall pick. And I'm not telling you he's the best player in the draft. Nick Bosa might be the best player in the draft. Quinn Williams may be the best player in the draft. Defensive tackle for Alabama. The kid from Brad Allen, Kentucky's defensive end. They mean maybe the best players in the draft. Drew Lock.
Josh Allen,
thank you. They're spectacular players. Whenever you're the best quarterback and have the tools and now charisma that Drew Lock has, you are always in the running for number one overall pick. Are you the best quarterback? Great. You may go number one. So that is why Drew Lock is in the running here. And he's been very forthcoming about a lot of his things. Actually, they came out. So a lot of people don't understand the background of what actually happens and the checks and things that happen when you're at the combine. When Aldon Smith was going through the draft process, they went and drove by the house that he grew up in. He didn't live there anymore. Didn't matter. They wanted to see what's the neighborhood like? Give me the texture of your childhood. I need to feel it. I need to see it. And so they actually went to his neighborhood, drove by the house, got out, walked around, and just checked it out. What's it like here? Can we draft? Can we spend the number 7 overall pick on you? And the answer was yes. So that is the depth of what's happening here. So the forthcomingness, if that's a word, from Drew Lock is exactly what you have to have. And the ability to deliver it properly and be likable when you do that is huge. They asked him about it. It came out a little bit differently. The way it's explained is, you know, Drew Locke gets asked about how he cheated on a math test in ninth grade. That's not exactly how it worked. They said, hey, we're looking at your overall records. They said you had some disciplinary issues in the ninth grade. What was that about? It's what they're making sure is this wasn't like sexual harassment, right? Like, that's what they're getting at. That's some sort of thing. You didn't get into a fight with a teacher, right? You didn't punch anybody in he said, so he ended up telling them, yeah, that, you know, I cheated on a math test. They sent me, I got into a little bit of trouble. Well, they don't see that, right? They're not, when you're a freshman, they're not releasing that to everybody. They're saying, yeah, he had a little disciplinary action when he was in the ninth grade. What was that about? But that's the kind of question they're talking about, his ninth grade. You remember how old you were in the ninth grade? You couldn't drive. You're probably 14. So you were in a place.
Inches away from getting busted for cheating one time in sophomore year. Inches away. I don't know how the teacher didn't see it. I have no idea. To this day, I do not know how the teacher didn't see it. It was egregious. It was bad. I was, oh my God. I've been there.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Everybody cheated off of me in high school.
I wasn't cheating off of anybody else. I'd set up my own cheat sheet because I was struggling. It was a class that I was struggling in. It was the final, and I was like, I'm not getting the grade I need on this final unless I pull off. It was like just the tiniest little cheat sheet. It was for like four things that I could not get down. I had no idea how the teacher didn't catch me looking at it. No idea.
So. Anyway, I'm explaining all this. Here is Drew Locke talking about all the adversity and things that he had to fight through when he was at Missouri. I apologize for the sound quality here. This one is not the best, but it's worthwhile to play for you.
Yeah, I think there's the definite, you know, aspect of, you know, starting 45 games in the SEC and making that consecutive, not missing a game in there. That's a pretty tough league to play in. It compares to the NFL really well, so if anyone's worried about durability, I have that to talk about. As far as game plans go, I mean, like I've said, Coach Dooley has done a great job. I mean, I'm completely confident in what exactly I need to be able to say and be able to talk to people. And then as far as adversity goes, I feel like I've been through a lot of adversity at the University of Missouri. If anyone knows about our freshman year, or my freshman year, there was a crazy week there in time with the protest and with Coach Pinkel deciding to leave and because of sickness, and then bringing that university back from what that was to where we are now. It should have taken a program probably 10 to 15 years to do that, and I'm glad that I could leave the university like that and leave it on a good note.
So a lot of people are going to be taken back by that 10 to 15 years thing, and I don't agree that that's how long it should take, but I can tell you if Missouri didn't have Drew Locke and they didn't have a quarterback in place, they could have continued to suck for a decade, and everybody would have blamed the protests. So whether or not it was the protests' fault, they would say, well, Missouri just never recovered. Instead, they had Drew Locke in place, and he threw 44 touchdowns and got you to two bowl games. That's important, right? That he's right about that. That is where the blame would have been put. And it's interesting, and we haven't talked about this much, and it hasn't been discussed, and this is really because it is such a high-profile thing, I suppose Charles Harris probably had to discuss this, and he went in the first round. But there will be a team, multiple teams, who walk in and say, hey, Drew, I know you're just a freshman. What'd you think about that protest? If you were a senior, you think you would have participated a little bit more? Would you lead the protest? What did you think about the substance of the protest? All things that have nothing to do with football. And somebody better be coaching him on how to answer those. Because that's a no-win question. Because it depends on the philosophy of who's asking it, right? Do you agree with it? Don't you agree with it? Is the answer that, you know, honestly, I just want to do what's best for the football team, whatever that is. I wanted to listen to Coach Pinkel, and when he got behind it, I said, all right, that's our leader, let's do it. Like, that's probably your answer, right? But there's not anytime you dive into politics, specifically politics that would affect what's happening on the field, that is a no-win answer. And somebody's going to be making sure that Drew Locke answers that properly. He was a freshman. He was the quarterback of that team. And that obviously was something that was talked about nationwide. So anyway, all in all, Drew Locke is having a spectacular right now. The guy's named Rob Paul. He's down at the he's down at the Senior Bowl. It's Rob Paul, NFL. I don't know who this is. I know he's in the media. He said, early takeaway from the Senior Bowl North practice day two. Drew Locke's arm is easily the most live, which is not surprising. Now, Here's what, for comparison's sake, you guys all heard last year that Josh Allen, not the Kentucky defensive end, Josh Allen, the now Bills quarterback, had the strongest arm, and it was like out of this world. The comparison is, you know, it's not quite there, but it's close. That's what everybody's saying. Except that Drew Lock is infinitely more likable. Drew Lock has a better personality in front of the media with his teammates. And he, at this point, throws a better deep ball. He's got more touch. He does a lot of that other stuff. He, to me, is a better prospect than Josh Allen. Bills took him at 8. So we'll see how it all shakes out. We got to go to break. We'll be back in a bit. It's Hardline.